Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is Somewhere in the Skies with Ryan Spread.
Henry. From last podcast on the left. I have been waiting forever, man. Our ships have been passing for years now, and it's so finally happening. It's finally happening.
It really means something to me because people ask me all the time, like, what do I listen to? Like, in terms of what do I get information from? And I listen to you. Somewhere in the Skies is probably one of my favorite pure UFO podcasts. And so I'm just happy to be here.
Wow, thanks, man.
Well, you do such good work. You know what? I will say, because I listened to The Witness, when you do the witness accounts, like, that is some of my favorite. Like, I don't know what it says about me, but I listen to it sometimes to go to sleep in hotel rooms. Like, I'll listen to it and talk, and then, like, really? I have crazy-ass dreams, like, as I go. Like, because I find I find every one of those, like, I mean, they're very, very compelling, but, like, you have the nice soothing music, and then every once in a while, I'll be like,
and then I saw the triangular object come over the horizon.
It's like, it's my version of ASMR.
And it's nice. Oh, done. Hey, I get that all the time, that I put people to sleep. So I don't know whether to take that as a compliment or not.
I get it all the time too. You know what it is? Sometimes I'm alone in a hotel room. I'm looking for company and it's nice to have a voice. And like my issue is that the reason why then I have to stop it is that then I get drawn into a story. And then all of a sudden now I can't sleep. Because I'm like, I'm under the covers, just like listening to, because I find witness accounts to be deeply compelling, especially like anybody that has, like, you know, we were just talking about it on this week's Side Stories, but like really the dividing line between all these various stories where, like, if you see an orb in the sky, it could just be tech that we don't know about unless you have some kind of emotional reaction. Because a lot of them, to me, the most compelling witness stories are all the ones are like, I experienced a wave of emotion when I saw this thing. Besides just wonder, like literally like hearing a vibe that's like, calm down. Or like, why do you use nuclear weapons? And you're like, I don't know. My name's Tammy. I'm from Missouri. I don't know why you're asking me why we'd use these horrible things. Gray man.
It's true though, man. Like the biggest question that a lot of these people have when they see these things is why me? Like either they feel like they were chosen or even if it was complete happenstance, like it changes their lives in some ways. So I'm happy that the witness accounts resonate with you because look, even when I'm editing those episodes together, I get so enthralled by the stories that I forget, oh, I'm creating a podcast episode. I'm not just listening to this. So I love that. And you know, I'm coming out with one next week, actually, volume 26.
Damn,
so we're up
dog.
To 26 witness accounts volumes, which shows truly how prolific and how so many people are seeing these things. They can't
really
explain what it is.
Well, look at what we're dealing with right now. We got, you know, we're shooting shit out of the sky that we used to sort of like, you know, we adjusted NORAD so we could see slower things, smaller things in the sky. And the first thing we're doing is blowing them up, which is the first thing it shows that, like, number one, they've been there this whole time. Because we are just turning it on now, right? So we're just turning the system on now so we can see them, which means this stuff's been floating up there. And then also, millions of people have seen something anomalous that is in the sky. And it's just weird how like they're all catching up. And the first thing that we decide to do is scramble F-22s at it.
Yeah. shoot and ask questions later. It's very American. Let's be completely honest.
But I really feel on the side. Well, I talked about it. It's the idea, like, aren't these generals afraid? I thought that's what George Knapp was talking about, that he was so scared. They're all scared of the phenomena. Aren't you afraid to poke the bear?
Yeah. Yeah. I know.
I don't know.
Right?
It's, like, why are we blowing him up?
We'll go there. I definitely want to get your brutal thoughts on, brutally honest, I should say, thoughts on all the stuff going on now. But I want to backtrack for just a few moments. I know you've answered these questions a million times, but for any of my viewers, my listeners who may not be familiar with your podcast and the work you do, you know, coming from New York City, I was a playwright most of my life. So cool. I'm always interested to meet other people who act, who are into the acting world. So I got to ask, before we even get to UFOs, how'd you get interested in acting? How did that whole journey start for you?
Oh, man, I am just not a skilled person. I think that's okay. How it started. I think that I was a ham as a little boy, and I immediately got a form of positive validation outside of my parents. Right. My parents were obviously, I was a kid that, like, you know, like many kids born in the mid 80s, was immediately diagnosed with ADHD. They're all like, oh, he's got our ADD, I think they used to call it, you know, and they're like, because I was very energetic and probably ADD. But what my mom did was that in order to, like, fix me, what she just said, instead of putting him on Ritalin like they did with half of our generation, they just tied me to things, right? Like, my mom would literally, I would be like a high security prisoner everywhere I went. I used to have two leashes on me. I had a leash on my wrist. I had a leash on my belt. I was walking everywhere. I was like, what's his name? Steve Buscemi from Con Air, right? Like, that's how I was put everywhere. And I think that obviously exhausted my parents. But then everyone else was like, oh, your son's a little star. He loves to act. And I did immediately. And I remember the first acting job I got was in third grade, because I was a baby model for a second. But then I was fired from being a baby model because I wouldn't take direction, which I don't even know what that means. I don't even know what that means. I guess I was tearing shit up. Like, I literally was like an uncontrollable. I was like a little Mickey Rourke. I got my first role in a third grade play where I played an alien that was dressed like Santa Claus. And I got the part because I was the first, I was the only kid who didn't need the pillow for the Santa Claus costume. And I was willing to do it. So, boom. What I first learned, the first rule about acting I learned was have no shame and just be willing to do what others won't. And you'd be really surprised what comes your way. As long as you really allow yourself to get pretty gross with it. And then later on, I think it really came from just a genuine, deep, vacuous hole inside that needed to be filled with attention. But then I weaponized it in a way that really worked for me. And then I also love it. I just love to enter. I love to be funny. I used to talk so much in class that they gave me like 10 minutes at the end of the day. I had a fifth grade teacher who used to give me like a set that I could just do at school. And then I just started doing drama when I was 15. And it just has been this way ever since. And I went to Florida State University, which wasn't really like an acting school, but like I had good teachers that were all like, you guys should just need to go to New York. And so my sketch comedy group that was together called Murder Fist, we went to Florida State University together, and then we all moved to New York, and then it went from there.
All right.
We just keep going. And I just love it. You know, it's just been, I'm very lucky in the fact that we have no connections. I think we are possibly I don't know what the opposite of a Nepo baby is. we're the exact opposite. We are not wanted full adult. Like, we were actively told, don't join show business. But now we've been doing it for long enough that we just kind of weaseled our way in there.
That's awesome, man. Well, and you guys, you filled, I think, a void that was desperately needed in a lot of this sort of podcasting world we live in. You know, you've got these UFO podcasts, you got these true crime podcasts, you've got all these things that take it way too seriously.
We started this 12 years ago, Last Podcast on the Left. So those of you who don't know, I co-host a show called Last Podcast on the Left, which is a comedy podcast about true crime, paranormal, serial killers, everything that is within what we view a giant macabre umbrella. You know, it's all horrors imagined and real, is like how Marcus put it. And when we started, there was none of that. We call ourselves second wave because the first wave was like Adam Carolla. Joe Rogan was only about a year before us. Mark Maron was about a year before us. And they were doing one thing. And at the time, the only content that was out there was hyper, what you were saying, hyper, truly hyper serious. It was either what we used to make fun of, true crime voice. We're like, then Springvale, no one ever locked their doors, you know, like, and now like we started as an adverse reaction to that very, very heavy content because we knew we were the people that were interested in this subject matter and we're going to talk like it. So we know that the people that were actually into this stuff talk the way that we did, joking about it, because gallows humor kind of comes with the territory. And over time, the show has really gotten thicker and thicker and thicker because number one, we know we want to be true to our audience and we want them to know that we are like digging hard, like we're working real hard to stay up with the times and having that show be as thick as it possibly can be. And it's weird to watch the entire genre grow around you. All of a sudden there's comedy, paranormal, right, true crime shows everywhere. And you're like, we started that, but I didn't know it would keep going. And so we're just here now. It's like 12 years later. It's like, it really just like, we put our head down to work like 12 years ago. And it's like, we keep lifting our head up. We're like, what? Holy shit. Okay. Oh shit. And so we just keep doing it. We just love doing it.
Well, and it shows. And, you know, I think what happens in the podcasting world, and I learned this early on, you know, I'm only like 3 years in, so that's nothing compared to something what you guys have achieved, but
you've done a lot in 3 years.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I've never missed a single week. Yeah. And that's something I'm holding myself to. I'll
never experience a day off. And then it's fine. As long as you just never once experience a day off, then it's like you're not missing the weekend if you never have one. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly. As long as you sacrifice your health, your relationships, you'll have a successful podcast.
It's that easy.
It's that easy. Well, that's kind of my point, is you see so many people trying to podcast, and after one or two, three episodes, they're like, oh, this is way too much work, or I'm not making money off of this. Like, I'm done. And we didn't make a dime every day.
Oh, yeah, of course. We didn't make a dime for 7 years. We did the show for free at that level for 7 years. But mostly it was because I didn't know what else to do. We were so interested, and we were just like, why would we stop? We're into it. We're watching the audience grow. And we felt good about doing it. So we're like, we're just going to keep doing it. And it also, it's reiterating the same lesson that I've learned in this business that I'm in, which is if you want something to be there for you, you have to make it. Yeah. And then you have to show up every day and you have to make it the job you want it to be. Without, like, you know, now it's more like understanding, making sure you're feeling the joy with it as you go. But, you know, we made it a job.
Yep.
And now we're like accidental experts in all of this stuff. Sort of. It's more like people ask me stuff and I don't even realize like what I know anymore because of all the years of reading all of this. You know, I don't remember my niece's birthday, but I know a lot about UFOs.
But you remember what date, you know, the Roswell crash happened. I'm the same way, man. I get it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, hey. Let's go there. Not Roswell. Roswell's been done to death, but I was listening to one of your more recent episodes on the Trinity UFO crash.
What do you think of this thing? I find it very interesting.
That's my question for you.
It's I think that there is a reason why, because now we're talking about like this new group. What's the new UAP group? It's not ATIP. Arrow.
Yeah.
And that, what they decided was like, is they're going through this database. I've been listening to a lot of Jacques Vallée, right? And I love Jacques, right? I love him. Awesome. I think he's brilliant. He can talk for a long time. And it's very esoteric. Like, you have to kind of peel apart because he's much smarter than us. And so I'm trying to listen to him talk. And he was kind of talking about how he was a part of the team that put together the artificial intelligence, like aggregate software, to put together this database of information that this new group, Arrow, is going to use for witness testimony, right, from both inside the military and out. And then it's that question of like, well, if Roswell started in 1947, they're talking about all the shit's now going to start in 1945. So I guess like there's somebody in the Pentagon that decided that that Trinity experience was strong enough to be the actual big the beginning marker of what right. we call modern UFOs. Like, you know, and it's very interesting. I feel like the main thing that that compels me is the physical evidence, like the idea of like a some kind of object bounced off a control tower. We know that something bounced off a control tower. They said that definitely happened. The weird thing with the cleared out all of the rubble, like, you know, obviously the quote unquote Men in Black showed up, cleared it all up. But then like a bunch of poisonous plants being buried there or planted there to keep people away. That was like one thing they said that might have happened. There's something about it. And having those kids have like, you know, those now old men have the memories of seeing this thing and experience this thing is also very compelling. And I, you know, it just shows that what we're dealing with right now, whatever it is that's happening in our skies right now over North America, like this might be something attached to it. Like this might be something, because if we can blow them up, maybe they can also crash. If it is what we think it is. Or if it's like, you know, what's her name, who wrote this story about the Area 51, who said that the actual answer to Roswell was that it was surgically altered prisoners from Russia.
Annie Jacobson.
Jacobson, saying that he was sending these things over, which I think is a far crazier explanation than aliens.
Dude, okay.
So maybe it's the same shit. Maybe, I don't know, because they said they saw the little people coming out of it. So maybe like in 1945, the Trinity crash. So maybe they're saying that that's what that is. You got a bunch of confused Russians just out of surgery. Just going like, oh, shit, how did we get? We were at summer vacation. And then all of a sudden now they're getting like, they're just getting scooped up and dropped off at Dulce. And you have no clue why they're there. They're being put in a big tank. Just being like, we are not aliens. We are just from other country. You know, and no one will let, and they're like, exactly. We got you.
We got you. Bagged and tagged. Dude, I mean, well, and that's, you bring up a good point. That's far more disturbing than even aliens crashing on our planet. If some country, whether it's Russia or us, there's even stories that we were using, you know, mentally disabled children and putting them up in these high altitude balloons to see
those scientists
how
are gonna
far
get,
they would go up.
Yeah, those scientists are going to get canceled. And I think they need to be really careful about, because those things, I mean, it does obviously seem to help in touring numbers, but when it comes down to, they'll never be able to surgically alter mentally handicapped people for NBC ever again. Yeah. And that's the worst fate you can imagine. But no, it's really, it's more the idea of the links that the, whatever information that was planted back in the day talking about this incident was kind of, it's kind of interesting how they show the links they'd go. I feel the same way kind of about, like, this is where we get in real conspiracy territory, where like the idea that like you make the things inside of MK Ultra so unbelievable that no one would believe you if you even told them. So you create this crazy inner secret. Like what, like, you know, what L. R. Hubbard, like, kind of cemented with the Xenu reveal, which is the ultimate, you've been here for so long, you've been researching these things so long, you've given me so much of your life, I'm not going to show you the quote-unquote real inner secret, and it's this wackadoo, like, story. And now it's too late, because now you kind of have to buy
invested.
Now you're invested. But yeah, I don't know, because it's like the idea of where's the information chain in Russia? Where is the series of memos of finding the mentally challenged kids to do the surgery on? Who was the surgeon? Where'd they do the surgery? Where are the other UFO like objects they would use? That was like, you know, I was listening to one news report talking about how, like, if what we're seeing over North America is high tech from other countries, would they not have wanted to demonstrate total domination over the aerial space a long time ago? Why would they be waiting to just let it float over above Alaska? Wouldn't they be using this shit? So I feel like it's the same thing with Roswell, where and what happened there, where like I feel like we would have seen a lot more of them if they had this stuff. But like, and out in the open, that you would have seen Stalin riding one like a cowboy just to show everybody he has one.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know.
Well, and it's such a weird game, and we're seeing it play out right now too. This mystery's been with us, you know, even before Roswell, and it's a matter of how will, you know, the government or the various intelligence agencies use that mystery to their advantage. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing play out right now, is they're not saying, you know, they're all surveillance. They're not saying they're all balloons. They're saying they're unidentified objects. And what does that mean to most people?
It's aliens.
Freaking UFO. Yeah.
It means so aliens. It's,
they know what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah. They wanted the confusion, but now it's like the buck got passed to us to figure out why. Why are you saying the word UFOs? All I've heard is the word UAP since December 2017, when those videos came out. Like, all we've heard is UAP. And then all of a sudden, as soon as we start shooting them, we're calling them UFOs. You know, like now we're calling them that. But I guess that's what's so hard, right? Is that conspiracy thinking is taking disparate points and trying to string together a story because there's a vacuum in information. And so it seems that they are purposely doing it with a lack of information. Now, number one, does it mean that they don't have that information at all? Because that's a part of me. Like, is it just general confusion? Is there a full Occam's razor to this, where you got old man Biden, who is just as scared of this stuff as everybody else is, and they legitimately don't know what it is, right? Because to me, I would first say, like, if they didn't know what it was, they probably would have called it a balloon. I think that we've seen this time and time again, that they've just actively lied. But at least with Roswell, I'm going to come repeat this joke that I did this week, but it was like, at least with Roswell, they gave us the credit of giving us a reach around by like dropping off some fake wreckage. At least they're like, that was what I was saying. I was like, it's like, show me a balloon and I'll believe you, you know? Or two, are they doing this for some counter espionage, deep, like could some propaganda reason to flex to China, to flex to Europe, to flex to Russia? Like, I don't know. And then on some level, it just makes me tired, because the one thing I know for a fact that now, hearing them all talk about it, makes me think, when you insinuate that it's UFOs and aliens, I know it's not, because you're not going to say it until you get one voting for you. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to get one. I know you're not going to say it until it is a, we're going to have a full rollout. It's going to be like showing that like Tupac's still alive. He's going to come out. You're going to have that next to, like, you know, everybody's favorite Melissa McCarthy. They're going to intro the alien to society. You know, like, they're going to come out and say something where that's in my view, where like, if you start saying the word UFOs, it's like, now you're just lying to me to my fucking face.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on here? Like, why are you doing this? Because I know you're doing this for a reason. And I don't know what it is. And maybe it's because, you know, we brought it up this week about like covering, you know, like not necessarily wanting to get too deep into the fact that there was a massive chemical spill in Ohio. Maybe it's something like that. But it seems to also tie into just this whole thing, this whole like new system as a whole, their new system of thought of like embracing UFOs, which, I mean, I think for some is really cool. I've loved on your show of you talked about the hopefulness of it, and you hope that it will bring some like much needed light and legitimacy to the subject, where we can get some real money to actually investigate it, and real people to actually willing to put their names on it and say, I'm willing to investigate it for quote unquote reasons, you know, now that it's legit, I'll do it. Or are they just doing it to bring it further closer to the vest, being like, now we got it. Now, don't worry. We're handling all of this. Meanwhile, it's just more psyops that we're being subjected to, and which I, and I'm not quite certain what the purpose of the psyops are.
Yeah, no one is. And I mean, that you're so right. I mean, if they can keep a hold and control the narrative, then that's what they've been doing all along. But I think what we're seeing sort of play out, Henry, which is the hopeful side of me.
No, and you know even more than I do. Like, I'd love to know, yeah, like, what is the hopeful, like, angle of,
yeah,
this? Like,
it's hard because there's very little to be hopeful about when you kind of got your hopes up in 2017. I mean, there's no denying that story that broke in 2017, like, was huge, and it'll be a story for the UFO history. However, everything after that, it's what happens after. And we're getting groups within the Pentagon. We're getting Congress people talking about it. We're a lot has happened. And now we're at the point where we're shooting them out of the sky and not telling the public what we're shooting out of the sky. That's all. It gives me a headache, man, thinking about it. But the thing I'm hopeful about.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm hopeful about is the ripple effect after that. It's the people who, like you said, were inspired. These scientists who are like, whoa, there's something to this. So when you see someone like, you know, Eric Weinstein or Avi Loeb being like, yo, this is legit now. I can actually talk about this because I think there's something to it. Cool. And then what happens? Harvard funds Avi Loeb to go look for techno signatures of alien artifacts, which is a ripple effect of everything that's happened post 2017. So no, that's kind of the stuff I'm hopeful about, you know?
No, me too. And because the one thing about this subject matter is that I think obviously there's a contingent of people who are like, don't we have more important things to focus on? Which I'm like, sure, sure. Yeah. Yes. There's a lot of shit going on. To put it lightly, there's a lot going on, but there's something about this avenue of thought that I think can give humanity hope past just Bezos, like fat, like, you know, needing, he's trying to bail on us. Right, like Bezos did a little trial run to go to space to say the quiet part out loud of being like, I'm going to be living in space while this rock dies. All right, yeah. Bye, everybody. And then he realized it's real difficult. Like, he got up there and he was like, oh, this isn't first class on the Emirates flight. Like, I did that one time. Like, oh, this is not, this sucks. Like, I'm nauseous. Like, this isn't fun. And so I think that there's that angle that people get, but there's something like this that shows that, like, no, like, in our new godless world, like, there is something to, like, point yourself towards where you're like, there is more to this. There is more to our reality as we know it. And yes, I think a lot of it's going to end up just being unexplored areas. It's just like sticking our head into closets, into places that we have just not been, and what it's going to mean, and like looking at life differently. But I think that that's important. I think it's important to also know that, like, you know, you don't need even a mystical reason to live. You don't need there's life is thick and powerful enough to be examined on its own, and it's here right now. Like, I think a lot of what we're going to see is some of the stuff that we're that's floating around. And our atmosphere is literal living organisms that we've just never really cataloged before and never known how to look at. And that, like, my whole thing with the phenomena is that it's like a 25-layer cake that has many different slots and many different things it is inside one cake. And it's got all the flavors inside of it, and each one is true. You know what I mean? Like, maybe there are like recon orbs from a nuts and bolts biological species that it's on its way here. Maybe there is an interdimensional factor that pops its way in and out. Maybe there is extemporal humans that are traveling and buzzing us every once in a while in sort of like a haze that they can't fully break through because of whatever the future technology that allows them to come and view the past. Who fucking knows? But I'm open. I am gaped for it.
Absolutely, man. I love
on all
that.
Fours. I'm on all fours, ready to accept the phenomena, however it'll take me.
As long as you got your knee pads, bro.
I've been stretching. That's my lower back's been killing me taking this phenomena the last week and a half. Did everybody in your family message you? Like, how did you? Can I ask you? this on you. Obviously, we're doing an interview after this. But like, what is your family like? Do they all like, Ryan, what's going on here?
The Somewhere in the Skies podcast is free to listen to every week. But if you would like to help support the show, we have a very active Patreon page where you give what you think the show is worth. In return, you'll get early access to the main show, bonus episodes, and priority to ask our guests your listener questions. Your support truly makes the show continue and grow. So, to learn more and to join, visit patreon.com/somewhereskies.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I threw two curveballs at my family. And that the first was I left pursuing being a professional baseball player to becoming a theater major.
I mean, that's cool, though. That's cool.
It's cool.
Well, you're giving up sports. I think sports is something else because I got to like I saw my buddies like I had two friends that were really good at high school sports and it was like one injury and their whole career's over. Yeah. Everything that they've been preparing for since they were 5 years old is over. And what has Kirk Douglas shown is that you can be an actor for forever.
Forever, man. It's a forever job if you let it. Yeah, so that was the first curveball I threw him. And then it was the I want to pursue UFOs with every waking moment of my life when I'm not acting or when I'm not playwriting or when I'm not doing my 9-to-5 job. And I think they were a little scared at first. They thought I was going down.
Well, the track record of ufology is not bright.
Exactly. And no, I know most we'll be people, talking you, about that.
You on hold your on show. To your love. You hold on to your love. You make sure you check in. I mean it. I was so my wife and I, we were having a staycation. We were like, we've been working real hard for Valentine's Day weekend. We're just like, we're going to go to do a nice little like stay at a hotel, like, you know, like let somebody else clean the house for 2 days and we'll like be like, you know, be sexy or whatever. Meanwhile, shit's getting blown out of the sky. I'm watching C-SPAN. Like, I'm literally, like, watching C-SPAN and talking and, like, doing my aliens. And, like, Natalie comes in. She's like, we need to go on a horse ride. We're supposed to go to a horse ride. And I was like, you're right. You're right. And she understands. She married me. You know what I mean? Same thing. It's like, you're already in this boat. I don't know what to tell you. You're in it. Yes. Guess what, baby? You are an unofficial ufologist now. Unfortunately, you're the first this ufologist
by proxy, baby.
I know. Hard. Hey, but no, but she like she's super into the material too. So like as I talk about it, but it is really funny to try to like be super like romantic and fun and emotionally connected. Meanwhile, like it's me just being like, "What's up there, Joe?" Like, I'm like yelling at the president's face, just being like, "You're lying to me, Joe." And then come back and try to make love.
It's hard, man. I mean, every day. And I know most of our listeners and viewers probably struggle with that too. Like, these topics take a hold of you because it's a burning curiosity, and it could ultimately change everything about life, about existence, if we were to ever get any of those answers.
So, I'm still just counting on that thing that means we all never have to work ever again. Like, let them just come, and then we just go up. I'll be a jester for the reptilians. Just like put me. I mean, I'm fun. I'll be like, I don't know what they'll want me to do. They'll probably put various things up my butt. You know what I mean? I know that that's what they like.
Apparently, that's a thing. I know. Well, hey. Yeah, I mean, my family is so supportive now. I think, you know, once they saw that the world was now taking it seriously and that there could be a core phenomenon happening, what that is, nobody truly knows. At least I don't think they do. That was the moment where I think, like, I could sit at a bar with my dad and, you know, instead of, like, watching the Detroit Lions or something, we're having a conversation about the Rendlesham Forest incident or something like that, you know,
taking back
and he's
the
one asking me about it. It's crazy.
It's kind of nice. I mean, I have had to learn. I've learned like four sports names so that I could talk to other men so that I don't always talk about UFOs. But it is a thing where it is interesting how the topic really blows stuff up. Like, we went to go shoot a little pilot presentation for the last podcast network, and we went to research on the you know, the Stephenville, Ohio, like Stephenville, Texas, the group sighting. So we went down there to go talk to a bunch of people, and it brings people out of the woodwork because it's a very small town in Texas. As we were coming, like, they were not happy that we were there at first. Like, we were getting a lot of people like driving past and blowing their horns and people yelling us and stuff. Like, and then at the end of it, like, it was pretty hostile, but all these guys that were yelling at us, we were doing this bar shoot. They'd be like, "Oh, you got an alien, you do an alien thing. I got a UFO story to tell you." And then they just like, all of a sudden they're your best friend. And they're saying like hyper emotional, like, because again, the phenomena opens people up, like and even these like hardened Texans are like talking about how like we were interviewing this like little guy. He was a sheriff dude. He was like maybe 5 foot tall, like 4 feet wide though, like a little jack guy with a crew cut, and he was intense. But like at the end of it, like, he's getting emotional because he was just like, it affected him. He was like watching. He was like, "Seeing that thing up in the sky made me understand that we're not alone in this world." And it's like, damn, like it really does have its UFOs have that grassroots kind of emotional effect that, like, I just wanted to tell that dude, being like, all you had to do was take mushrooms one time and you could have avoided a lot of this mess. Like, you really could have gotten a little bit more empathy into the system, but whatever works. Like, if it takes aliens, that maybe that's the control system that Jacques Vallée talks about. Yep.
Exactly. There's many roads to get to the same destination, I think. Yeah. And
just being chill. Cool, man.
Being chill. Yeah, and it makes you feel more human. I honestly feel that whatever these phenomena represent, they put us back in our shoes. When you see a UFO, holy shit, like you've never felt closer to the ground in front of you in that moment. Instead of scrolling on your phone or thinking about what's for dinner or how am I going to pay the next bill, you see that thing in the sky that's not supposed to be there, and boom, you're put back into the present moment like never before. And that's what I love about it, the immediacy, the vulnerability. And someone like you said, with this Texan sheriff, like, he probably doesn't open up to anyone like he did. Like that. So that's really cool.
He felt it. And I'm just so jealous of you guys who really have seen something. I finally saw my first orb, and everyone's making fun of me because they say I didn't see anything. Oh, they said, "Oh, you're drunk." And I was like, I might have been. But also, I know what I saw. I know what I saw. I saw, like, again, it was like I saw a blob floating down a train track, and, like, you know, I saw it down south, and they all got stories of that ghost train. That's ghost train. Man. You know, and you're like,
that's ghost train.
But it's interesting. Like, that's the closest I ever got. Because you saw, like, an actual, like, well, I want to cover in our interview, but you saw an actual hard object in the sky. Right?
To an extent. I saw a structured formation of lights that I could not see anything behind it. So I assume it was a structured craft. But I didn't see, like, machinery. We'll talk about it on last podcast. But
Over under. Are triangles U.S. tech? What's your over under on our triangles U.S. tech? I have a feeling that the triangles are U.S. tech, and that there's a mixture of, like, and if you did, like, straight up, it's just like when you see a flying saucer, nobody knows what the hell that is.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know. What do you think?
I honestly think with the triangles, we're dealing with man-made craft with some other technology. I honestly feel like it's the hybrid craft, if there is one.
Do guys come to you with stuff? Because I get some of these, and some I take word for word, and some are more like, I don't know what you're doing. Like, people being like, I got secret information for you. I got secret pictures. I got videos that you can't share. And when you see that stuff, like, what do you do with it? Like, does it just inform, like, it's informed me. I don't know what's real or what's not real. It just informed me that the thing is really deep. But it's like, is there anything that you've seen that you're not allowed to show that you're like, I'm sorry, I flipped this on you. You got to from me. You got to take this show from me, dog.
Pull it back. No, that is a great question. Cause I want to know from you too. Like, I get emails all the time. I get people sending me, whether it's photos, videos, testimony, or documents. And I mean, I take every one and look at it. You know, I think there's value to anyone who's willing to take the time to reach out to me. But it's such a subjective thing. Like, when I get sent something and they say, oh my God, man, like, this is going to be earth changing, or like, this can't be shown to anyone. And then I look and it's a photo of, like, just a blurry light in the sky.
Well, because I understand that person must have been freaking out.
And absolutely.
And
I'm not going to take that from them.
No, and they're taking a picture. They're like, their hands are shaking. They're trying to take a picture of a thing, which is, I don't know if you've tried to take a picture of what you think is an anomalous light in the sky. And then I take the picture and it just looks awful. Like, it's just not good, you know, but they felt the feeling of seeing something and then desperate to catch it. And I you know, because, you know, you see it on all the subreddits, the main critique, which is, if they were real, wouldn't we have TikTok, like, full, like, 1080, like, HD view of these things? And it's like, I actually don't know if we would. Don't know whether or not, if it is conscious in and of itself. It seems, if you do believe in the, you know, I love the Newkirks. Greg and Dana Newkirk do a whole show about, like, mixing, like, all of these sorts of, like, these topics at once, like cryptids, ghosts, aliens, and talk about the capital P phenomena. And the idea that, like, there is a trickster aspect that, like, kind of likes to flirt, and it doesn't want you to take a picture of it. And it also seems to be a dance between the object and the viewer, where how many times you've seen all of these witness accounts talking, like, that same thing, being like, I felt like it knew I was watching it, and it was doing a performance for me. Like, it was a demonstration, that term that comes up a lot. And so, so you think that thing's going to dance around, but doesn't want you to fucking take a camera, man. It's like Dave Chappelle. Mm-hmm. He's trying to work stuff out. Like, it doesn't want you to be there for it. It doesn't want you to nail it down. Because as soon as we start nailing it down, I mean, you know, again, you could have the best HD picture of a full saucer that you want, and there's going to be somebody that's going to take it apart, as they should. I don't even blame them. Like, sure, yeah, of course. Attack it. Go at it. You're supposed to. But it's like, you know, you're not going to make people believe. Look at this stuff. Look what's been happening in the last, like, 6 years. Is that, like, you know, I did a bit in our live show about, like, UFOs became real and absolutely nothing changed. So why don't we, you know, who cares? It's like, why do they think that there is such a corporate thing to even keep it all down? I feel like it's just the phenomenon is hard to capture.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's crazy. And I think that's where the true like disclosure comes. It comes with each person who sees something. And it, you know, if we're going to get like metaphysical, like the true disclosure is from within, like don't trust a government entity.
Yeah, exactly. I don't need the U.S. government to make it legal for me to believe. I'm going to disclose to myself, because if I don't disclose to myself, ain't nobody going to disclose for me. And I think that's what this is about. You really, it's about, again, it's letting, what's the control system supposed to be? It's supposed to be about looking up at the sky, taking a moment to be with yourself and the universe, and you would be surprised what comes out of that hello. You'd be surprised what comes out of just joining into the flow of nature. And yes, even if you're, you know, what do you see now on online all the time? People say touch grass or whatever, but it's like just being out. Just looking at the sky, looking for UFOs is going to even accidentally make you more connected to the universe at large. And there's something about that. Like, I don't know if there's a direct personality baked into the operating system that is our reality. I don't know if there is something like that. But there's something to be said about how the phenomena is just saying, like, all we want you to do is pay attention to your heartbeat for a second. Like, all we want you to do is to pull your head out of your ass just for a second and not think about all your garbage and just flow with the universe. Because obviously, yeah, we're shooting these things out of the sky, maybe whatever this thing is that we're shooting. But it's like, it's just floating there. You know, like, it's not zigzagging around. It's not doing the other shit. It's not even like turning on nuclear reactors. It's not doing anything. It's just parked.
Yeah.
You know, like, and there's something to be said about that. There's something to be said about like having a moment of stillness. And this is me saying it, Lord of fucking chaos that lives in a world of shit. But it's like, it is, there's something about that, about literally what Whitley Strieber talks about, like, you know, literally communion. And what does it mean to try to give it up to nature for seconds at a time?
Yeah.
And it'll change you.
It'll, it will.
It will. And then, like, you know, like, get those, like, have you watched a new documentary series on Netflix about mushrooms? The Paul Stamets. It's like, it's really interesting, but it's basically just talking about the psychic qualities of mushrooms speaking to each other, that it's not psychic because it's mycelium spreading throughout the soil. But there's a lot to learn about the way mushrooms behave that probably are a mirror to how our consciousness works inside of our reality.
Oh, interesting.
And that we're remote, that our consciousness is remote, and that we're all like plugged in. And then I was just reading, you ever read Gene Wolfe? Shadow of the Executioner and all that kind of stuff. I was reading a short story by him last night, and him talking about like in this future that they understand that like they struggled for years to isolate particles, and saying how like they used to call them electrons and protons. And now we understand there's only one basic element and one basic particle, and we are all it, and it's all happening at the same time. And I was like, I know I'm high as balls right now, but I do believe that this is like more towards the truth than not, that it's like this thing of, you know, that it's very wooey woo, very Fern Gully. Yeah. But I do think that there's something to it.
Interesting. I'll have to check that out. Well, hey, man,
his short stories are great. Gene Wolfe is great. He freaks me out.
Yes, to an extent where I think it freaks you out, but it also, again, it makes you think and it makes you wonder. And that's what this is all about.
Yeah.
So, I love it. Well, hey, I got a couple.
You got me positive. You got me positive because it was good. Because I've been screaming. It's so nice. And I'm still screaming, but I'm happy.
If that's what this conversation is for, then we've both done our jobs.
I gotta get my blood pressure checked on Friday. I don't know what it's. I'm afraid.
Oh no!
I don't know what.
Oh no! Stay away from C-SPAN. I'll tell you.
Oh God.
all right, my man. So we're gonna head over to last podcast soon, but I got to get some listener questions in.
Yes, please. For you
before we go, if that's cool.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Awesome. So Black Cat Report on Patreon asks, what advice would you give to a new podcaster trying to grow a community? I know we touched on that earlier, but yeah, anything you can really say to someone who's just getting involved in the podcasting world?
You have to have a naive attachment to doing the show. Like, you really need to ask yourself to, like, do I want to do this all the time? And really love it, like, and get into it. And the key is showing up same time, same place, each week, every week, being dependable. There really is the internet has a little bit, like, I was talking about somebody, the internet is a medium. And the fact that, like, you can build a trust with an audience that you can, that film and TV can't. And it's building a place for people to go. And it's really being there, you know, rain or shine. You know, I remember when I was starting to do comedy in New York, I think the same axiom applies, where it's like, you do the same show for three people that you do for 5,000 people. Like, you do the same show because you're really just trying to, you should be so in love with the craft of it that you're willing to move forward, and you do it sustainably. Like, that's what it's like, making a way that it's sustainable for you and you do it regularly. And then all of a sudden you're just going to wake up and you're going to have a whole body of work, and there's going to be a bunch of people there too. Lose yourself in a little bit of the work, but in a 2023 mindset, like, you do need to create space for yourself as well. Like, you got to like play a video game, walk away, like, you got to, like, do that stuff so that it is something you're super excited about coming back around to and doing.
Such a good point.
And try, yeah, and do what works and drop what don't. Like, literally, there's nothing sacred. I think that's also an important thing too, is like, there's nothing sacred. If the episode sucks, scrap it, redo it. Yep, if they gotta wait for it, then they'll wait for it, because it's better for you to show up with the shit good versus like, it's all right, it's whatever. You know what I mean? Like, just put it out there. It's just like, especially in the beginning stages, like, really, really go for it. Because when we started, we didn't fully grasp that everything was going to be permanent. You know, like, we sort of thought it, but we didn't really understand that it's there forever. So yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I love it. I love that, man. That's good advice for me too, actually.
Yeah, fucking, I wish I knew.
We all do. Jonathan asks, actually, we had quite a few people ask this question. What is your favorite case? What case would you put before a skeptic or the public at large to be like, you need to pay attention to this? Like, it's documented. Something truly anomalous is happening. Do you have, like, a case you kind of would hang your hat on?
I mean, these days, I would put it towards Rendlesham. I still think Rendlesham is I love that story. There is a lot to that story, mainly because of the nature of where it happened. Like, it happened at this, like, the essentially, like, a place for us to hide our nuclear weapons in Europe. Like it's very compelling. I think that's really interesting. A bunch of people who are trained to observe, or people who saw it. I think that also points towards a little bit of physical evidence. A whole bunch of people there to kind of account for it happening. I think it's interesting. And I think the aerial school group sighting in Zimbabwe is also harrowing. And just, again, it points more towards the physical / psychic nature of the phenomena. And there's that a bunch of kids all seeing the same thing, drawing pictures of it independently. That story freaks me out, because everything else kind of gets mired in stuff. Like, you have everything else. There's so much noise around it, and also kind of what Jacques Vallée was doing in Brazil. All of those stories are very, again, he's a legit researcher telling these stories, and I think Rendlesham and aerial school are, like, my favorites in terms of, like, these are very, very compelling, especially when I bought that, like, 2,500 page self-published book that the guy wrote about the information that was, like, downloaded into his head after he touched the craft. And you're like, whoo, man, this guy did something happened to this guy. I don't know what happened, but he got busy. I have to write a comic book, and each one's 22 pages, and it is difficult. The idea of writing 2,500 pages, something happened.
Something happened out there, man. It's definitely one of my favorite. I'm hoping to actually get to the forest soon since I'm here.
You gotta go.
I gotta go. I know. I gotta take advantage of it for sure. Touch that ground.
Do it for the show. Then you make it, then you can just leave it work. Like, cause like we used to do those all the time. I kind of miss doing the remotes because then you can kind of mix it up with people and do interviews on the ground. And like, I'm certain that you'll dig up a bunch of like people that were there. Like it sounds really, that would be incredible.
Yeah. I'm on it. I'm on it, man. You've inspired me. I just got to learn how to drive on the other side of the road.
I'm very scared. Golden. I wouldn't do it. I don't know. I'm not ready. Last time we were in Europe, I wanted to try. One time I have a vision of doing like a driving trip around Europe. I think that would be fun to do. But yeah, you got to get used to it.
You do. You do. All right. Last listener question, Henry. I know we got to wrap things up here shortly. Do you? Here we go. Does Henry agree with Jacques Vallée's? There you go. He said the golden name, Jacques Vallée's position on the phenomenon as outlined in Passport to Magonia. Or do you have your own theories about what we're dealing with?
Well, I talked a little bit about it, but I do think that. Let's just say I've had chemical help with this, but I also understand it's very wooey woo. But I really do believe that anything that you can imagine is real at some point, some place, some dimension. That things are just real. That you could, if you thought of it, you almost kind of just made it real somewhere. Like I really think that there's something to, and that there's so many layers to the phenomena that I think Jacques Vallée is like, that's the one I like because I really appreciate the concept of there's a half a world that we're not paying attention to, which is like the psychic realm that to me is, again, just unexplored science versus wooey woo. Like it's way more like we just don't really fully or maybe understand or have fully can investigate what our observation does to reality and like how our group perception dominates reality. And then like, you know, what is an outside intelligence? What is an outside intelligence poking its way into our view of the world? And the way Jacques Vallée paints this concept of like, you know, charting all of these stories through folklore to now and equating, you know, little people and you know, ogres and ghosts and different things to what we now view as like, you know, grays and aliens. I think it's just really appropriate. I just think that it doesn't fit all the way in. So it's like, I think that whatever we just blew up, if it's not what I said on Side Stories, I do believe it's probably our private tech that we're blowing up. But if it's not that, and we're just blowing up these weird bogeys in the sky, that's something else too. Like, you know, I don't know what that is. Like there's something else. And then like, then I've had listeners say to me, because like I'm way into the psychic thing. And then recently I had a listener who was like, you keep saying the psychic thing, but whoever is abducting me is pretty physical. And it's like, damn, that's like a whole other thing that I don't particularly understand. I did a narration for a documentary about the hybrid program. But Gray's like, and the way these women talk about this, it's the same as sexual assault. They talk about this like truly they experience something. And then the grief and of watching your baby be taken from you. And you can see these gray there. And like, is that a psychic projection from something else? I don't know. Is that concrete reality? And they're feeling like it is. So it's just it's just so interesting. And it lies at the very weird hazy point of observation and what is real. You know, then you get to the Bill Clinton, what does is mean, like that very bottom neutrino of logic of like what is real. And I feel like we're fucking too heavy on it, dog. We're also fucking concerned about what's real, dog. When it's like the only thing I know is that like I can't wish taxes away. even though, like, I wish I could. They keep, that's a persistent thing that keeps fucking rolling in. So I don't know. I mean, who knows? But yes, of course, Jacques Vallée I've been heavily inspired by, because I also, I think that any one explanation is too reductive of right. what we're experiencing.
Absolutely. I love that. What is real? I think that's a good place to kind of leave everyone wondering here.
Quit your job, man.
Yeah.
Quit your job. Don't be like, fuck Jeff, dude. Oh, Jeff wants you to come in extra on Saturday? Be like, what is the objective nature of reality, Jeff?
Being come like, on, Jeff.
No, we have our, with Ben Kissel, we have our active axiom, which is time is not real, but schedules are. So yes, we know time's a construct, but we have a Zoom link that goes active at 1:45.
Okay, let's do it. Let's do it.
It's done.
It's done. Henry,
dude,
brother, I know we only scratched the surface. I got to get you back on.
Such a fan. I'm so glad to be here. Love the show. Great work. We'll keep going back and forth. You could tell the other ufologists, I'm sorry if I've made fun of them. That's an extension of my own insecurity. You can let them know. I know for a fact that it's like, cause we all have the same Winnie the Pooh shaped body. And this is how it is. This is the lot we've been given.
That is reality.
Yeah. It is.
Dude, before you go, please let us know where we can find everything you guys do over there and, where we can learn more about you.
Check out Last Podcast on the Left at LP on the Left and all the various socials. I have a bunch of different, you know, projects I'm working on. Like right now, if you want to check out, I do a show for Adult Swim called Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell. I don't do it anymore. It's been canceled, but I just say it out of just grief, remorse. And then, but we have a new series on YouTube. We have YouTube cartoons versions of it that we've been doing now. And honestly, we're doing a bunch of stuff. Like I'm very excited. I'm writing a comic book for Dark Horse called Operation Sunshine. It's a vampire heist story that'll be coming out in October. It's really fun. You know, just I don't know. Very lucky. And I'm here, man.
I love it.
See my bullshit. And see my bullshit. Because I don't really, you can look at my socials, but it doesn't matter. I just post. I basically just advertise for everything else, so it doesn't really matter.
It's all, I know. It all fits together. Well, hey, we're going to go head over to your Patreon to continue the conversation. So everybody, I don't know when this will go up, but head over to the Last Podcast on the Left Patreon. We're going to continue our UFO conversation over there. And Henry, yes. I can't wait, man, to have you back on in the near future.
Let's do it.
And we will speak soon. Thank you so much, brother.
Of course, bro. Hey, I'll say it, man.
Somewhere in the Skies is produced by Third Kind Productions in association with the Entertainment One Podcast Network.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.